praise you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for your presence here in this place. Thank you, Lord, that as we worship you, Lord, you become, Lord, more real as we come in contact with you, Lord, and we, Lord, can appropriate the things you have done for us. As we believe in what Jesus has done, and Lord, as we take, Lord, and know, Lord, all the benefits that you have provided for us. Thank you, Lord, for today, and we ask you that right now, as we go into your word, Lord, that we may be able to receive it, understand it, and put it to become effective in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Last week, we looked at, talked about how we fight the enemy operating in our life to have victory. Okay. That, you know, there are different things that God wants us to know, okay? But so based very clearly, all what I was teaching on is on John 10:10. The enemy comes but to steal and kill and destroy. He came to give us life and give us more abundantly. And we had to see how we can implement and how could make that work. We had to choose. We had a choice we had to make. We are not to be passive. We had to be active and we had to implement or make, act, operate on the word of God, working with the way God has planned. So that, you know, if we understand all the things that are involved in the part we had to do, then God can do his part. But if we don't know what we have to do ourselves, then we are confused and we cannot exercise our faith. We need to have the understanding to be able to know what to do. And we get that understanding from the Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. And what we have to, essentially, our ability to resist the attacks of the enemy, the temptations, the things that he put on us, the temptation to not to believe and to go our way and to do our things instead of following what he said, tell us to do. You know, those are the things that he tries to do so that we are by ourselves and we cannot win. We have to resist the devil. That's the key. But we have to understand how we resist it, how we resist, how we fight it back. Okay. It's a battle. The fight that goes on. And that's what the world is. That's what our experience is when we are in this world. Okay. And we have to understand that when the war, you know, in war there are casualties. And we have to recognize that. And what to add, we don't want to be, God doesn't want you to be a casualty. God wants you to win, to be overcomer. Okay, we need to understand our way to do that. Okay, one of the things that we had to do, okay, we had to understand if you are in a battle, if you are a soldier and you are called to war and you are not prepared, the chance for you to survive is very small because you have no idea what is going on and how to position yourself, how to defend yourself, and how to counterattack the things that are coming on you. See, what makes the difference, what should happen before you go to the battlefield is actually you train. You prepare yourself. See, the preparation is more important than anything else because you depend on knowing what to do. And be able to do it effectively. So, you know, it's easy not to think that, you know, preparation is, you know, you want to get into the battle. No, you had to get prepared before. And we can see, okay, that Jesus is our example. And what did he do? He prepared himself for 30 years before getting into the battlefield, really. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, we think that, you know, just get born again and boom, you know, try to do. We don't have a clue. When you are born again, even if you are truly born again, which I question sometimes, lots of the people, they think they are born again and they are. Okay. But even if you are, if you don't train yourself, the chances that you are going to really progress and be successful in the way God wants you to are very minimal. And this is what we can see today in Christianity. Now, we have a good example. Jesus did it. He prepared himself. And how did he prepare himself? Well, it's very clear from, you know, even the first Gospel of John, you know, chapter on the Gospel of John. You know, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, you know, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then goes on, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwell among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, that's a way he became full of grace and truth. Grace is the, you know, the favor of God, if you want. Is the blessing that God gives us. And truth, we have to understand truth, because this is probably one of the topics that the world cannot understand. The world doesn't have the truth. I remember when I met the Lord, and I was looking for the truth as a scientist. And I knew, and I realized, came to the realization that I was not where I could find the truth. And when I met God, I said, I was looking for the truth, and I thought I'll never get it. I got it now. I have it. I found what I was looking for. That's why, you know, in a week, I made the decision to just quit what I was doing and start following God's Holy Spirit to guide me to where I am now. It's a long path. That's where it brings us. That's a journey that we have to make with him. You know, people think born again is done. You just kind of put your nose in the door. There is much more that you need to get. Now, so let's see. Okay, Jesus prepared himself for what was coming. And when, you know, the attack came, he knew exactly what to do when he was tempted. And he overcame, and I showed that last week. This week we are going to go more in the preparation. You see, in the preparation, you see, as Jesus was the Word made flesh, okay, the Word became flesh. We had to make the Word became flesh in you. That means, you know, has to start taking over your flesh. The things, and your flesh is nothing else than the things that have been training you in this world. Your senses, the things that you experience, that you, that's what the way we, in this world, we grow and we learn. But we learn according to our senses. And they depend on the physical world. Really, the physical world is not the most important. It's not the critical. It's not really the true reality. And I'm going to see a bit later on. The spiritual world is the source of the physical world. And so you see the really, you know, operating and dealing with reality involves learning to walk and to operate in the spiritual dimension. God is a spirit. And those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And we have to understand what that means. We have to understand how we are going to achieve that. You know, you cannot worship God in spirit and in truth unless you're born again. Silence here. I didn't say that. The word says that. We are going to see some scripture if you have time. Okay. Because the world, people that are not born again, are not in contact with their spirit. Their spirit is dead. When you are born again, your spirit becomes alive. You are not the same person anymore. You are a new creature, the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. A new creature has a different life. It's not the same life that everybody else has. And the life is the life of God. And we had to learn to function in that way, in that dimension. And the only way to do that, okay, and the only way to do that is for us to allow the Word to show us, because the Word is the only source of spiritual information on which we can depend. It's the Word that not just provides us the information, but provides everything that we need to be able to operate in it, to be able to connect with God. Okay. We have to understand that we have to let God's word dwell in us. And we are going to expand that, because that is really the way we are going to get battle ready to fight the battle. Because it's not a question of going through 1, 2, 3 steps. It's a question to have assimilated, and the word has become part of us so that we naturally function in that dimension. Praise the Lord. See, even after that, things are never going, you know, the word, God doesn't say that everything is going to be resolved and you are going to have no problem. Until you are in the world, attacks will come. The enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy, especially if you are a believer. Because you are messing up what he wants. You are in his enemies, and he's your enemy because he's God's enemy. And you are in God's side. But the thing is, you know, we have to understand that if we are ready, then we know what to do. And those things that happen are not going to affect us anymore, but we are going to overcome. See, Revelation talks about you know, being overcomers. That means you are not pushed around by the enemy anymore. You are not there struggling to make it. You are there because you have victory, and the victory that Jesus has is the experience you also have. Praise the Lord. You see, that one makes you battle ready to be filled with the Word. That's what changes your position, because you have all the information and ability that is required to fight the battle. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. See, you had to, you know the truth to become free of all bondage and to be able to operate in a spiritual dimension. Okay. In John 8:31, Jesus started, you know, as he was around, he gave lots of instruction for us to be able to apply them. And he repeated himself many times. Because, these things are not received just by hearing them once. We need to discern. We need to, you know, understand and be able to appropriate the things of the Spirit. And he said in John chapter 1, verse 31, and Jesus said, you know, to the Jews that believe in him, if you don't believe in him, just know you're not going to get any much anyway. If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, this is the critical element. Okay, knowing the truth by dwelling in the word. Now, this is a really interesting expression here. Okay, this says here, you know, if you abide in the word or dwell in the word. The word there in Greek is meno. And it's translated in the King James in a continuing in, which actually is the proper interpretation. Meno means to stay in a place and not be moved from it. Okay, so it says, you know, if you stay in my word, not just when you do Bible study, not just when you read the Bible, you stay in the word, that's your permanent place. The word is inside you and is operating and is guiding you and is empowering you and is enabling you to live above and not below, to look up instead of looking down, to empower you to do the things that are going to give you the victory, because in it there is the victory. That's how Jesus won the battle. He was operating like we do. Okay. So that means, you know, what does it practically mean to abide there? You know, says, what are you focused on? What are you believing? What you're thinking? What are you, you know, giving, valuing? See, what you value. See, we judge everything. You know, we give value to things. We understand this principle helps us enormously. You see, the way we act is dependent on the value we give to things. If something is important for us, it's not because we say it's important. It's reflected by our actions. When we give value to God, then we want to be connected with him more than to any other things. When we value the word of God, then we spend time, we think about it, it's operating in us. When we value enjoyment and entertainment, then we watch TV and we do other things and we waste our time and we get nowhere. See, our action tells us, you don't know what you really value by thinking about it. What you have to look at is how you spend your time. Your time tells the value, because what you value, you are going to do. You know, take, for example, when two people fall in love with each other, they want to stay together. And then they find all the opportunity, all the things to be together. If that doesn't happen, I don't think they really want each other. Are you following me? Because they value each other. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you know, the idea here is abide in my word The reason why we abide in the way we do that is not because our mind is not in other things. What we do is we value the word because we know what it is in it. Okay. He shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I mean, you want to get free? That's what has to happen. You have to value the word more than anything else. You have to value the word as much as you value God. Actually, you cannot value God without valuing this word. Because it means nothing to value God when you doesn't know any manifestation. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. You see, this is what happens, okay? That as you focus on the scriptures, as you focus on the word of God, as you focus on what God says, his promises, see, then they become a reality, you know, because evidently a promise is something that we don't have, we don't see. But as we focus on that, focus on the word, we start seeing them, we start developing hope within ourselves. We start hoping for them. And hope is the beginning of faith. When we have hope, we can have faith. You cannot have faith without having hope. That means hope is nothing else than expectation for that to become reality. That you can experience it. That you can have it. Are you following me? So you start seeing it there, describing. God said, you know, your sins are forgiven. Well, I don't feel forgiven. Well, you know, they can be. They should be. That's what God wants. And so he promised that. He promised all the things that is all his benefits. Heal our diseases. You know, redeem our life from destruction. You know, he is there to provide these things that we actually need. But we cannot achieve in ourselves. We can receive them and appropriate them by him, by his work working in us. So we start believing what we don't see before we actually see it. Okay. And that process is something that is not according to the way that we have been trained in the world, according to our senses. See, before our senses can actually see the things that we are expecting, we are going to believe for them. Okay, and you know, but to get there, we had to have faith. Faith has to grow inside us. For faith to grow inside us, we had to be hope. To have hope, we had to have something to hope for, and that's what the word gives us. The word of God give us all the things that we can believe before we see them. Okay. Now, psychologists today will say that probably we are in denial of the facts. But they don't know anything because they don't understand, you know, the spirit. Because they don't even believe in a spiritual dimension. So they cut off the existence of the most important part from which everything comes, and they want to say what to do. They are blind, leading the blind. Are you listening to me? Okay. There is a difference. They will say, you know, you are denying the facts. Absolutely. The facts are not real anyway, even if they are physically real. And we are going to see that. There is a kingdom that Jesus came to show us, the kingdom of God, that is more real than this physical world. And then we can start living, okay, in this kingdom right now. He just said that the kingdom of God is within you. So if it's within you, then there is nothing stops you from living in it, except your decisions. Praise the Lord. You know, Paul said, I want to stress that, I want to repeat that. You can start living in the kingdom right now. If you allow the Word of God to believe it and start following what the Word says. That's what Jesus did in his walk on this earth. He believed what was in the Word. One amen. That's good. Let me read from Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, you know, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, so it's not a physical thing, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, when you are in the kingdom, you know, okay, they start from righteousness. Okay, you are in the right relationship with the Father. Okay, and the manifestation of that relationship and the evidence of that relationship and the result of that relationship is peace, shalom. That means more, much more than just being quiet. Okay. It's prosperity, it's abundance, it's everything that you need. You are at peace because you are satisfied and fulfilled. And joy. So the manifestation of us walking in the kingdom is that we are going to be full of peace. All the things are provided. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Are you with me? And joy, because you got everything that you need, and you know there is nothing that, you know, you are just rejoicing in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay. Now, the thing is that we have to understand, okay, that those things, okay, happen as you abide in the Word. Okay. See, when you abide in the Word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, the Word, okay, now this is the way it is, the way it works. Okay. Okay. So, we have to learn to dwell in the Word, to be focused on it, to allow that to develop hope and faith in us, to be able to walk in the kingdom, to start experiencing the righteousness, the joy, and the peace of God. Okay. So, but, you know, many believers, what they do is up and down all the time. I mean, they go to a period of time in which they are keen and everything else, then get distracted, and they just lose everything. And they have to start again. That's not working. That's not helpful. That shows that there is something missing, and they God get distracted. We need to continue in that. Okay. We have to remain connected with God. You see, that is our connection with God. Our connection with the Word is our connection with God. Hallelujah. You know, in John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, this was the same thing as I essentially said with John 8, 31 and 32. Okay. But this was just at the end, when the last day when Jesus was finishing and was making sure that they understood the way to operate the function. He was leaving them, and so he was making sure. Okay, so the fact is, you know, that's a big promise. How many actually experienced that? And to what degree we are experiencing it? Here it says, you know, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. There are four things there. Abiding in Jesus. Okay, how do you do that? You abide in his word. Okay. You cannot abide, it's not by saying Jesus. It's by abiding in his word that you are going to abide in him. Okay. But when you abide in his word, in abiding in him, you know, means that you are actually, your thoughts, your ideas, your desire are determined by the word. Because otherwise, if your value, and your desire for something else, that's what you're going to go after. And you are not anymore connected with him. You are connected with your desire. So here he says, you know, when you ask, will what you desire, it shall be done for you. So you see, that's the thing. A result of getting our desires fulfilled is our connection with the Father, is our connection with the Word, our Word abiding in us. Praise the Lord. Are you there with me? Okay, so that we have to understand. Okay. We have to believe, start to believe. Are we connected with God? Are we, you know, because we believe that the word is everything that we need. Okay? Are our desire godly? Okay. You know, this teaching just came after the parable of the vine and the branches. You see, our connection with God is critical. And that connection comes through being abiding, that means staying in the Word, in communion with the Word all the time. Praise the Lord. And you know, to have communion is just more than reading the Bible and doing Bible study. It's that when you start, the Word is going with you after when you finish, when you walk on the street, when you drive the car, when you do, you know, anything, when you are living your life and things happen, instead of just looking at the physical, there are things that are from the Word that come, that minister to you and guide you in dealing with the situation you're in. So when somebody says something that is hurtful to you, you know, you just, the way you react is, praise the Lord. You are not going to get me upset. I'm going to, may the Lord bless you. It doesn't affect you. And forgiving them, even if they do things that are hurting you. Why? Because you know, that's what the Word says we do. And that's what the Word, and that's what we implemented in our life. And it's not a difficult thing to do because the Word has a priority in our life. Praise the Lord. See, the way we start living is different. We just are set free from these things that the world, you know, says. So abide in the Word. Okay. And it shall, things that when we pray, it shall be done. Hallelujah. Okay. So, we continue here. It isn't finished. Jesus said something else that is very important for us to understand. Okay. It says, by this, the things he said before, by the fact that we receive the things that ask for, our desire, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You see, the fact that you are his disciple is the fact that we bear much fruit, because we actually, you know, achieve when we ask. And we receive, we glorify the Father. We give glory, you know. And you can interpret that glorifying the Father in different ways. One of the ways is that you, you know, how you glorify something. You, because glorify means, you know, to give value, to give preeminence, to give importance. So you are giving importance to the Father. And so you give him glory because you give him reverence. You give him, you know, manifest his power, his results. And so you start, you know, seeing and perceiving and experiencing God's glory in your life. Praise the Lord. Okay. See, that is not the only place it said that we give glory to God when we receive things from Him. If you take, for example, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, you know, says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us." So you see, as we receive from God, it's because we actually are giving Him glory, and He is glorified. He is manifesting His glory through us as we receive. But how is happening? In Him. What does it mean, in Him? It means that as we are dwelling in the Word. You cannot be in Him, not dwelling in the Word. See, as we are in the Word, and the Word dwells in us, then the Word manifests itself in us. Are you still there? You see the importance. You see, we have to start valuing the Word, because as we value the Word, we value Jesus and we value the Father. It's the way we contact them. We join them. Hallelujah. In Him means you dwell in the Word. And you receive, are blessed, are glorified, and glorify God through that, and manifest God's glory. If we don't manifest the promises, then we are coming short of that. And the reason is not because God doesn't want to give us. It's not because, you know, He's there. You see, but there is a part that we play. And the part that we play is receiving it. And receiving it involves for us to have the faith, because to receive it. And we receive it only when we have developed the hope and the Word is inside us to be able to have the faith to believe. That's why faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And this hearing there is not the physical hearing, it's when we, our heart hears and our heart appreciates, when our hearts receive those things, when we, our heart is open to the Word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is how we set, we are set free. That's the way we overcome things. That's the way we are successful. That's when we get results. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, in Psalm 107, verse 20 says, "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their distractions." So it's very clear, you know, this is the way it comes, but, you know, just send the word. We have to receive it and appropriate it. Time goes too fast. Praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 107, read it, because there is plain all the things, okay, on how, you know, to get in trouble and how to get out of trouble through the word. It's a really powerful psalm. You know, it really says, you know, how do you get in trouble? By rebellion, by unbelief, by not understanding, by ignorance, and by presumption. And when I talk about presumption, it's that we believe in something that actually is not true, but we base ourselves on that, and we get in trouble for it. Hallelujah. It's knowing the truth, as according to Roman, John 8:31 and 32. That we become free. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Hallelujah. You know, understanding what the truth is. In Hebrew, the word truth is could be translated better, truthfulness or faithfulness. That means when we know the truth, I know we know that really God is faithful. God is truth. The Word is truth. The Word is faithful. And that produces the results in us. You see, that He sent His Word, which is truth. See, what is truth? You know, that's exactly what the truth is, the Word. John 6:33 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing." The word that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. Okay, so they are, so the word, you know, they are the truth. I am the truth, the way, and the life. There is a difference between truth and fact. Truth, okay, for example, by stripes you were healed. Well, maybe that's the truth. You may be sick there, you may have pain and whatever, but the truth is that by stripes you were ill. The fact is, you know, you may have some symptoms in your body. The truth never changes. It's faithful. It's permanent. It's eternal. Facts, one is today, something changes completely tomorrow. You cannot go on fact. And this is, facts are temporary. Truth is eternal. And that's what the word is. The word is eternal. It's not going to change. It's not going to, nothing to happen. Okay. So, but we have to understand and receive it. Okay. You know, Jesus talked about you have ear to hear and you don't hear and everything else. You know, really depends on the fact. He's not talking about physical ear. I was quoting from Isaiah. He's not talking about physical ear. He's talking about the ability for us to grasp and discern the meaning, the spiritual meaning of the word. Because when we do that, we are going to be healed. We are going to be delivered. We are going to be set free. The same thing, you know, this repeats all over the scriptures. And we have to understand that. I want to read from Psalm 138. Praise the Lord. This is a powerful psalm. Okay. Psalm of David. He said, "I will praise with my whole heart. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you." Okay. So this is something that he said as a result of something else. We cannot do that unless something is happening spiritually inside us. You know, worship groups, what they do often, they had to work themselves up to be able to have to be in the spirit. I really think that's the wrong thing to do. Because what they do is they just get charged up emotionally. And it's not the real thing. So they had to be there practicing and getting before in the spirit. I'm sorry, if you are in the spirit, you're in the spirit all the time whenever you're probably in the spirit. You don't need time to charge up. I know that goes against what most of the people teaches, but I don't care. I know it's true. And here is very, very clearly explained in the psalm here. See, "I will praise you with all my heart." It's not a waste, you know. It doesn't say, "with all my emotions, with all my charged up." Hello? See, let me continue. Let's go to the second verse, because that's explained the first one. "I will worship over you in the holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word for above all your name." You see, the reason why David was praising the Lord with all his heart is because of his loving kindness that he had experienced and the truth that he had received, the deliverance from the things that he needed to be delivered from. See, knowing the loving kindness, you know, some people may know, you know, the word in Hebrew is kesed, okay, means favor, means the love expressed by kindness. See, that's the way we can find out about the love of God. The fact that he does things for us, he blesses us with his kindness, and we know that we don't deserve it, but he has favor for us. And when we have received that, I mean, naturally we are going to be feeling grateful, and we are going to worship him, and we are going to praise him, and we are out of our whole heart, because we know all of the things he has done for us. But if you are there, you know, lots of people are mad at God because, you know, they're trying to do get things and they don't get things. Well, they cannot worship God with all their heart because they are upset with him. And that's not a way to get anywhere. And the reason is because they have not been in the Word enough to be able to be prepared to deal with the situation that comes to their life and then blame God for their faults because they didn't prepare properly. Are you still with me? See, that's the way out of those situations. Psalm 138 is so good. See, it goes on explaining even more later on, because maybe not very clear from what I said up to now, but says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this is why you can say, I can worship you with all my heart. I can praise you, you know, completely without preparing anything. I'm just being blessed. I can keep it inside myself. I had to say something. I had to worship you. It's not something that, you know, the sacrifice of praise, you know, that shows that we aren't quite there. Praise the Lord. I mean, I have to read another few verses here. Okay, so I can minister to you later on. You know, in the day when I, then goes on, verse 4. All the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear the works of your mouth, the words of your mouth. See, that the kings are not the kings, it's not the leaders. The kings are those who hear the word of God. The kings are the one that have, are the overcomer, are the one that heard the word, and they heard it. That's what they said here. Okay? They you know, they hear when they hear the words of his mouth. It's not that just hear with their ear, they hear with their heart, so that there's going to be worshiping the Lord because they get the result. They got blessed. We are quiet. Praise the Lord. They will sing of the way of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you with me? You see, this is the way God wants to work. There is much more that I can continue on this. Okay. But, the, you know, when it says, you know, the in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says the word of God is living and powerful. The word of God is not living and powerful in the book. The word of God is living and powerful only on those kings, because it's producing result. They have it, you know, the word is living inside them. So because it's living inside them, it can become powerful to produce the results. And when it's powerful to produce the result, the only thing that you have after you got blessed is to praise the Lord with all your heart, because you know you didn't do it. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. Well, living and powerful. That's what you have to want to have in you. The word living and powerful to manifest the glory of God in your life. Hallelujah. So we are going to pray. If you are, you know, if you want more of that, if you want a breakthrough in that area that, you know, may be struggling with that, I can pray with you afterwards. But for now, let's just pray together. Okay. Thank you, Father, for your word. As we connect with your word, we connect with you and with the Father. We just praise you because we know that as we allow the word to become alive in us by dwelling in it, meditating on it, spending time talking about it, receiving it, appropriating it, believing it, choosing to believe what we don't see with our eyes, but believe with our heart, because that way we are also going to see it with our eyes. Thank you, Lord, for the power that is in your word and the ability that you release in us to set us free from your truth, with the truth ministered life to us. Thank you, and we praise you, and we worship you, and we magnify your name with all your heart, because you are worthy and you are the only one that give us victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen and amen.